Good morning. Finally got my technology going here. God brought to my attention three different events that motivated me to give this message this morning. We just finished the Alpha course, a tool that we're going to use for outreach. Spring is upon us. Warm days. It's nice to see sun again. Planting season is very near. And Easter is just around the corner. Infrequent visitors coming to come and hear the word. And with all those things happening, I was led to think about planting seeds and watching them grow in our gardens, but also planting seeds, spiritual seeds in our community. So what kind of preparation do we need to do as a church to make a spiritual garden that is beautiful and produces much fruit? I hope to answer that question. Let's go to the Lord first. Father, you are the master gardener. Your word is chock full of lessons for us to learn as we partner with you to create and tend your beautiful garden. Guide us through your word and help us to understand what role we must play in this. In Christ's holy name, amen. Of course, the first passage that came to mind was the parable of the sower. And let's see, did I turn that on? Yes, I did. Now it doesn't work. Nope. All right, here we go. Parable of the sower. That's Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came up and ate it. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. And as always, the disciples were wondering what this means, so Jesus explains it in the next verses, 13 through 20. Then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand this, the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? The farmer plants seeds by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on the good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. So the seed represents the gospel message, and the different types of soil represents the conditions of people's hearts. Some hearts may be hardened, like the path where the seed cannot take root, and others are shallow and can be easily swayed, while others are choked by the cares of the world. However, when we sow the seed of God's word into good soil, it will produce fruitful harvest. And that's where the hearts are open and willing to hear the word. There, love can grow and peace is understood. And these are the characteristics of good soil. As Christians, we know it's our responsibility to sow seeds of faith in the lives of others, sharing God's love and the truth of Christ. As it says in the Great Commission, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. There we go. We might face rejection or indifference, but we shouldn't give up. And our goal this morning is to find out what it is that transforms hearts to become open and willing to hear the Word of God. So let's go back to the garden for a minute. What's the first thing you should do if you're preparing to plant seeds? Well, I'm not a heavily experienced gardener. In fact, Connie laughed when I told her I was going to give a message about gardening. In fact, I have a very nice brown thumb. But it seems that the first thing we should do is think about preparing the beds and the soil. If you go to YouTube and search for soil preparation, you'll get hundreds, literally hundreds of videos that tell you that soil is the most important part of planting. And in fact, so does this parable we just read. So before we get too deep in the soil, let's talk about the overall growing cycle, and we'll relate it to God's Word. The typical growing cycle, of course, starts with planting seeds and watering, and we want to make sure the soil is good so growing can happen. We need to weed and trim and then harvest, and the fruit will have seeds, and so we can plant again. So now let's relate that to God's Word. Let's start with the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. It's all about planting seeds, as we saw in the parable of the sower. Watering those seeds, you might say, is baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And if they are in good soil, I believe it is feasible to do the next part, and that is teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And this is the area I want to come back to, so we'll come back to that. So this is the good soil. If it's planted in the good soil, then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 7, Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow, so neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes it grow. You have to remember that. And if we're good gardeners and we continue to protect our plants from all the dangers, from weeds and disease, it will produce fruit, as it says in another great gardening book. That's chapter 15 of John. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And because the fruit grew in good soil, it generates more seeds, and it can be spread again, and we can go back and go make disciples of all nations, completing the ongoing cycle. Since our goal this morning is to find out what it is that transforms hearts to becoming open and willing to hear the Word of God, let's go back to the good soil. And it says, teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And how in the world are we going to do that? That means we have to deal with these people with hardened hearts and people who are easily swayed and people choked out by the world. And now we're supposed to teach them to obey everything that Jesus taught. I mean, I know what you're thinking. I'm having enough trouble figuring out how to plant the seeds or spread the seeds, let alone teach these same people to obey. But if you think for a moment in your lifetime, what kinds of things caused you to obey? Was it that finger-pointing mom? Or was it rough language? Was it fear? Or was it the people that respected or loved you that caused you to want to obey even when they weren't around? In the book of John, right before the vine garden chapter 14, verses 23 and 24, Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. My younger brother was a bit rebellious as a youth. My parents were not real tough on him until somewhat later he got into some serious trouble. And out of love, my parents clamped down on his freedom. But at the same time, my dad started spending a lot more time with him, doing a lot of fun things and showing him how much he loved him. my brother really straightened up after that, and he's an amazing Christian now. In the same way, if we love Jesus, we will obey all he has taught us. So let's go back to the gardening chapter in the book of John 15. This is the Jesus is the true vine. Starting verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. When in my life, when I finally came to Christ in my early 30s, I remember so well God's love transforming me from a rebellious person to someone who really wanted to do everything I could for Jesus, and especially obey. And my heart was filled with joy. And even today, when I actively try to love others in Christ's name, I feel that same incredible joy. In the same manner, if we have a church that exhibits that God loves us and that we love God, then we will obey and we will remain in him, and we will exhibit the complete joy of the Lord, and we will love one another. If we are all those things, then we are the good soil, and the good soil for sowing the word of God. Anyone who's planted here in this good soil will have their heart transformed and become open and willing to hear the word of God, and will have an ongoing experience in his love and will remain in him. But how do we get the lost community to be surrounded by this good soil? Still a good question. In Proverbs, it says, as chapter 11, verse 30, it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Meaning, it takes true wisdom to win souls to God and his kingdom, and it's that wisdom that knows how to love and how to give an answer to those who have not come into God's kingdom. And I've noticed that there's a lot of wisdom in this room. And I'm sure you've tried many ways to get people here. Don't give up. Let me suggest a few ideas to get people from the community to be surrounded by the good soil. Okay, wake up. Okay, there we go. But before we do that, what's the first thing we want to do before we go reaching out to people? Any effort of evangelism must be preceded with prayer. And you say, why? Well, in Ephesians it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not of your doing. It salvation is the gift of God." And I'm going to show that verse to you just right now. Okay, there we go. Since God initiates salvation, we should begin our evangelism with asking God to do the initial part, and that is to grant the ability to believe to those that we want to see saved. So remember to pray first, and then try one of these suggestions. First one is, be the light of the world. When I was a kid, it was interesting, these hymns reminded me of when I was a kid in church this morning. But I remember when I was a kid, long before I gave my life to Christ, I memorized a prayer because I'd heard it so many times at the end of almost every service. And it's actually Numbers chapter 6, 26 through 24 through 26. And it says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And after I gave my life to Christ, this prayer began to mean so much more to me because it reminds me of the incredible joy I felt overwhelm me the day that when I felt his face shine upon me. And when I pray it now, I don't totally changes my demeanor and how I relate to people, even those I don't know. And you know, people have a sixth sense, and they can see this light in you, especially I think when you engage in random acts of kindness in word or deed. If you have that demeanor, I think as part of the good soil, we should seize every opportunity to sow seeds of love and grace and truth throughout our daily lives. We may not immediately see results, but we can trust that our efforts will have an impact as we faithfully sow seeds and leave the outcome to God. So the first thing to do is to remember to remember when Christ's face shone upon you and be that light. The next one is to find an opportunity actually to come alongside of someone. Joy happens when we are glad to be together. This can happen in good times and bad times. My experience is that when people are at their worst, in severe sickness or near death or death of a loved one or even divorce, people just need someone to listen. Not fix it, just listen. And when you genuinely listen, a bond and a trust begins that causes joy, no matter what that situation is. This is good soil. This is the good soil. Our alpha leaders are taught this listening technique. And over continued time in this good soil, the Lord can move this other person to the next step when you were walking along with them. Next step might be alpha, it might be a community group, it might be Bible study. Whatever it is, the seed of the gospel has been planted. So find an opportunity to come along someone. You know, it's written in Romans 10:15, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And that's what that's about. Third one is to meet Christians during the week, fellow Christians, and invite non-Christians or disconnected Christians. And this can come in several different forms. One variety is where a bunch of us Christians get coffee or a meal together and invite a non-Christian. We just make normal conversation. We might drop a faith question at the table, and then the good soil reveals itself by discussing that question as normal as we would discuss a new recipe or a new car repair idea. But you're demonstrating authentic Christianity without evangelizing, at least until these people are ready. But the seed has been dropped in the good soil. The second form of this meeting during the week is where you invite someone to a lightweight Bible study that's ongoing. And by lightweight, I mean where what the Bible refers to is milk rather than meat. A study that might answer some of the questions that we ask in Alpha, like who is Jesus and why did he die? And then unlike Alpha, though, that you could do this ongoing every week of the year. Could be ongoing. So connect with your fellow Christians informally every week and invite a friend. The first three suggestions were methods to get people into the good soil. Anyone who hangs around this bunch is likely to hear the message, but how do we keep Satan from coming and taking away that seed? How can we allow them to grow deep roots so they won't fall away as soon as they have some issues or are persecuted for believing God's word? How do we keep them from allowing the message to be crowded out by the worries of life, lure of wealth, desire for other things? The answer is remaining in Christ. And even the good soil must remain, in order to maintain its nutrients, must be remaining in Christ. So what does it mean to remain or abide? Is that twice a year? Is that once a month? Is that weekly? Is it daily? Remaining in Christ or abiding in Christ means to stay. Now, my dog does not understand that word. No matter how many times I say it, and I don't think the disciples were that thick, but Jesus does repeat it now several times. Jesus uses the vine description because if you remove a leaf off the branch, off the vine, even for a second, it's really hard to put it back on. So another way to look at it is what does an apple have to do to stay ripe and tasty apple? Nothing. It just has to remain on the branch. So the most important nutrient in the good soil is remaining in Christ. The most important involvement with a good soil for a non-Christian or a new Christian or a disconnected Christian is to remain in Christ. This is how we take an active role. This is how we do this. It's not just once a week listening to a Bible teacher or a fantastic sermon or even one like this and then going home without interaction with Christ until next Sunday. We need active involvement with our faith. So how can we do this? Well, we all need a time where we can talk about our faith with each other. Alpha teaches people to do this, and guess what? After they're done, they don't want to stop. The elders of this church have decided that small groups or home groups or community groups, as we would like to call them, is an important activity for this church. And if you're not in an activity that allows you to discuss your faith journey with others, you're missing out. So the elders have put together some ideas and some guidelines to help start the community groups, and this can be a natural follow-on to the groups that are started in Alpha. And by the way, we are planning to have another Alpha in the fall. We have 43 church members that have gone through Alpha now. That's not 43, but let me make a fifth suggestion. I didn't put this on my chart, but with the right number of volunteers, we can run more than one Alpha at simultaneously, but at different times of the day. So if you believe that you might have better success reaching a lost individual in the morning as opposed to the evening, or in the afternoon as opposed to the evening, then come and see me afterwards, because I think we could do a second Alpha in parallel with the evening Alpha. Let me say in closing, these are four or five suggestions. They are just suggestions. These are things that we can do today or start doing today. We have a lot of soil preparation to do, and it takes everyone in the church to get their hands dirty. There are a lot of people in our community that are lost and don't even know it. And if we're not reaching those people in the community, we are not fulfilling the Great Commission. Jesus said, I'm going to repeat it, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So let's be the good soil and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as that have been planted. Amen? Let's pray. Father, as we talk about planting seeds, there are certain people that come to mind, friends, neighbors, acquaintances, even family. And we know these people are not in good soil, and they're being swept away by the world. Our hearts ache to see this. Help each of us, Father, to take a step towards surrounding them with good soil. Soften their hearts to be open and willing to hear the gospel, Lord. And we pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.